Welcome to the Crosslands Church podcast. Our mission, to help you experience the life with God you've been missing. And now, a message for you.
I want to start with a story this morning. Years ago, when we were living out west, we had to come back to Ontario to visit somebody, and we had been away for a couple of years. I was in Bible college for a couple of years, and we visited old friends, and we were sitting chatting with them, and you fall into your normal personality routines, I guess. And at one point, somebody that we had been to youth group for a number of years said to me, "Wow, you haven't changed a bit." And I almost kind of took offense at that. It's like, it feels like you don't even know me. Like I've changed over the past couple of years. I've developed. I had done a few years of Bible college and grown and matured. It was just my mannerisms sort of defaulted to the basic. And I think one of the reasons I was kind of offended, because it's almost like you're looking in the mirror a bit. Is like, have you really changed? You think you have? Have you really changed? And when you experience that, you kind of ask yourself the question, maybe subconsciously, you know, is this who I really am? And where am I going? And this morning, we want to talk a little bit about that. We had a message previously, which was called, "Does God Speak Today?" And of course, the implicit answer to that question is yes. But the follow-up today is, why do we need to hear from God? Okay, sure, He speaks. But why do we actually need to hear from Him? And before I go on, I'm sort of saying every week, for people that sort of miss the odd week and tune in from time to time, that you might see us not wearing masks on stage or on camera. We do have a mask policy in place at Crosslands Church, and the only time people in the building are not wearing masks is when they are off when they are on stage. So when everybody that's off stage, the people that are serving in kids ministry and all the other pastors and worship leaders and worship team, when they leave the stage, they do put their masks on. So just so you know, we are adhering to the local requirements for wearing masks, just in case you're worried about that. I would also encourage you to put questions, if you have questions that are relevant to the message today, and conversation and comments, put it on the YouTube chat. We'll deal with questions that come up if we have time towards the end. You ever been to one of those parties where they hand out name tags? We used to have an extended Christmas party. Like, it was extended. And I don't mean extended family. I mean like extended family. And it wasn't my side of the family. It was Michelle's side of the family. And there'd be like a couple of hundred people there. And I mean, I didn't know anybody, you know, sort of marrying into the family. It was like cousins and second cousins and all of that. And you go in and they give you a name tag. I hate those kind of parties because there's fewer people that you know than that you don't know, and you have to put your name on it. And sometimes I resent the name tag so much, it says, "Hello, my name is," and I'll put Inigo Montoya just to see if people notice. But I wonder, if you could put whatever you wanted on your name tag, what would you put on it? Most of us put our name because that's sort of a label. But your label doesn't answer the question, who are you? What would be the answer that you would put on there that wouldn't be a label of your name, but a description of who you are? And so when we talk about why we need to hear from God, a couple of the big questions of why are the two biggest questions in life. Who am I? And why am I here? So who am I? What would you put on your sticker? I'm going to read a passage from Luke 9:36. And this is the story of the transfiguration, where Jesus takes a three of his closest disciples and he goes up to the top of the mountain, and there's this revelation of who he truly is. And in that, you know, if you know the story, you know, they're surrounded by a cloud and dazzling light, and two patriarchs from the Old Testament are there. And there's a voice that comes from the cloud and it says, "This is my son, my chosen one," or my anointed one, or Messiah. "Listen to him." This is a message to the disciples. "Look, this is Jesus. Listen to him." Now, that's an echo of a previous story, because before that, the same kind of thing had happened at Jesus' baptism. And so at Jesus' baptism, you'll find this in Luke 3:22, Jesus comes up out of the water, and there's a voice that comes out of the sky or the clouds that says, "You are my dearly beloved son. You bring me great joy." Now, here's a significant difference between the two. The second message was for Jesus' disciples. It says, "This is my son, my chosen one, listen to him." The first one says, "You are my dearly beloved son." Although people around heard, some of them I think recognized the voice, some of them didn't and just heard a sound, but the message was for Jesus himself. "You are my dearly beloved son, and you bring me great joy." Now, if Jesus himself needs to hear that from the Father, How much more do we need to hear that? All our life, we're told what we are, and many times what we're told comes from a role that we play in life, whether you're a father or mother or son or daughter. Sometimes the label that's put on you or your descriptor is as an employee. Or from the government's point of view, you're a taxpayer. Or from an economic point of view, you're a consumer. There's a big recognition right now of generational differences. You know, boomer or millennial or Gen Z or the forgotten Gen X generation, the ones in the middle. We're like the middle child that everybody forgets about. Maybe you've seen these memes online, but Gen X is the first generation that is poised to deal with a pandemic because so many of our generation came from home from school to empty houses and fend for yourself and entertain yourself by watching TV and cooking your own dinner. Well, now this is our lives, right? Entertain yourself by watching TV and cook your own dinner. But maybe there's more. Maybe you've been called other things. Maybe other people have defined you in ways that you really don't want, like jerk or liar or addict. What are the labels that we carry with ourselves? We carry them and we identify with them because that's what we've been told who we are. What does God say? John 1:12 says this, "To all who believed him and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God." The context here is this grand introduction of Jesus to the world at the beginning of John's gospel, and says he went to his own people and his own people did not recognize him. But to all who recognized him, to all who believed him and accepted him, they received the right to become children of God. When you put your trust and faith in Jesus, you are redefined as a child of God. I know it's popular in our culture today to say, well, everyone's a child of God. And to an extent, that's true. But to have God's name put on you and saying, this is your primary identifier, that doesn't happen until you put your trust in Jesus. Galatians 3:26 echoes this. Paul writes, "For you are all children of God through faith in Christ Jesus," or the Messiah Jesus. The first letter that John wrote later on in the New Testament, 1 John 3 verse 1 says, "See how very much our Father loves us, for he calls us his children," and that is what we are. We've had a problem in our backyard recently, and in a crack in the concrete underneath the basement entrance, there have been wasps flying in and out, like a ton of wasps. And I mean, I don't know about you, I don't love wasps that much. It's one of those things, why do they exist? I'm okay with them existing, I'm not okay with them existing in my backyard. And so we got that foam poison and we sprayed it on there and problem solved. But no, they keep coming back. And I don't know if we're not getting them all. And I know I'm going to get comments about this at the end. You know, that's not really the point of this, okay? The point of the message today is not to solve my wasp problem. The illustration is this, is that it keeps coming back and there the negative labels or the less than ideal labels, even the smaller than you should be labels, they keep coming back in our lives. And why is that? It's because the world system, the system of the world is in rebellion against God and disagrees with what God says. Not only that, but our default nature, our corrupt nature, you know, the part of ourself that we're born into that leans towards self-destruction, right? You don't have to teach a young child to lie. It really comes naturally. But that original default nature, I don't want to even say original. I mean, the corrupted nature is in rebellion against God. So even in our self-talk, we have a hard time believing and continuing to believe what God says about us. And so we need to counter all the false messages that hit us from the past, things that have been said to you in the past, from very, very early on, from the present, things that say to you, people say to you today, and even your own negative self-talk. The messages of the world erode the messages of God. So like the wasps that keep coming back, it just keeps coming back. So we need to regularly be reminded that we are sons and daughters of God. We are his children whom he loves immensely. Beyond our even love for ourselves or the best experience of love you've had from another human being. God loves you beyond that. And so we need to hear regularly from God because we need to remind ourselves and be reinforced of how much he loves us and how much our identity is in him and not in all those other things. Not all those, that all those other things are bad necessarily. It's not bad to be an employer or a father or mother, but they're less than your primary identity. It's as God's child that we can fully realize our potential as fathers and mothers and employees and taxpayers and consumers or whatever? That's the first question that needs to be answered on a regular basis. Your identity, who are you? I remember my first day of kindergarten. Yes, my memory goes back that far. So we're talking a lot of years ago now. I don't want to say how many. I was looking forward to school. I don't know if I was bored at home, but I remember looking forward to school and going the first day, and it was exciting. There's all these other kids. There's activities. There's all these things to do. And there were a couple of kids that they didn't want to be there, obviously. They're crying and having a fit and all of that. They're like, I don't want to be here. Don't leave me here. I'm afraid. They didn't say they were afraid, but it was kind of like it was obviously they were afraid of it. And I remember thinking, look at those kids. They're pathetic. This is school. This is awesome. This is exciting. And they don't want to be here. They're crying. And day two, I didn't want to go to school. Day two, I'm like, I'm crying. I don't want to be here. Don't make me go. I want to stay at home. And I don't really remember why I was upset on day two. I remember walking in the first day and you see all those things. And I don't know if they still have this because I haven't been in school for a long time. But there was a thing called a sandbox. And that was great. You could play in the sand at school. And it was like, there were only a certain number of people that were allowed to play in the sandbox at a time, so you had to take your turn. But at a certain time, playtime was done, and the teacher says, now we're going to sing a song or read a book or whatever. Now, I don't want to do that. I want to play in the sandbox. And I think that may be why I didn't want to go back to school the second day, because I really don't want somebody else telling me what to do. And I don't know if you know this, but it doesn't change once you graduate from kindergarten. Then you go to grade one and there's more things to do and your schedule is determined by the teacher. Now it's English and math and all these other things. And I remember being in high school, and like most high school students, you just can't wait to be done school because you're in school for like 6 hours a day. Well, then you graduate from high school, you go to university, and it's like, it's not more time in class, but it's more work. And then you go into the real world and get a job. And now it's not 6 hours a day. It's 8 hours a day minimum. And they're telling you what to do all the time. And so our agenda is determined by somebody else. So here's the second big question that we face. Why am I here? What are the things that I have to do? And so many of those things are determined by what is not God. I mean, at the very basic level, they're biologically determined. I have to eat because I'm hungry. I have to eat tomorrow, so I need to earn money to buy food because I might be hungry tomorrow. So our very basic needs determine how we act. We want to belong. There's safety in belonging to a group of people. So we behave in certain ways that are considered culturally acceptable. The way we dress is determined by the culture around us. How we act at the mall. Right now, how we act is determined by the fact that we're in a pandemic. And I wonder if how many people are wearing a mask for the idea of safety of themselves or others, or why if we wear a mask because it's culturally unacceptable to do so. And it's not wrong, but the things that we're doing are determined by what makes it work around us. The fitting in and having an occupation and having a family. But at the highest level, when you trace that all the way up to the top, that hierarchy, and I'm not talking just about Maslow's hierarchy of needs, because at the top he says self-actualization. And that what that misses, it isn't just about you determining your purpose for yourself. Because you don't have to think about it too far to understand that if God exists and God loves you, God has the ultimate intention for your life. The ultimate answer to the question, why am I here, is determined by God himself. Now, I've been working in a church for a long time, and I think that a lot of people avoid this question because it's a little bit scary. Because if we're talking God, we're talking about the highest standard, and that's a bit of a scary thought. The reality is, whatever God calls you to do, you are insufficient. You don't have the know-how. You don't have the power. You don't have the discipline, the determination, or even the want to. Because whatever God wants is going to be the highest. And God calls you to something that's beyond what you can do. We require the power of his spirit working in us to even begin to fulfill his potential for us, to even begin to fulfill his mission or the part of his mission that our lives are to be given for. And so his words are necessary to affirm both our identity and to lead us into the life path that he has for us, which is done step by step. There are very, very few people that God speaks to and says, this is my plan for your life. Because I think if he were to do that, most of us would say, no thanks. it's too big, or it's too much self-sacrifice, or it's just beyond my capability or even what I want to do. But in Him, we have the capability. In Christ, we have the ability to accomplish what He has for us to accomplish. You have the ability to accomplish what God has for you to accomplish in Him. And so we need to hear His words daily. And I mean, sometimes even minute by minute, minute, hour by hour, because it isn't always a grand thing for your life. Sometimes it is. But God has a purpose for you this afternoon, tomorrow, the day after. And so we need to daily be hearing from Him to answer that second question. What am I here for? On a daily basis, who am I? What is my identity? Child of God. And I don't just mean like an intellectual assent, but to know it in here, to feel it with the whole of your being. And what do you want me to do today? What do you want me to do this week? What do you want me to do this month? It's a big challenge. It's the highest challenge. God's standard exposes our insufficiency, but we find our sufficiency in Him. Do you want to miss what God has for you because of the insecurity of your identity and capability? By feeding yourself with His words, hearing from Him on a daily basis, He brings you to the point where you are solid in your identity and solid in your moving forward in His will. I'm going to give you an illustration from Scripture. I'm looking at the book of John here, and I'm going to sort of skim through it because we don't have time to do like sort of an in-depth study. But throughout the book of John, there are a series of I am statements, and I'm just going to look at a few. Jesus offers Himself to the people. Remember at the beginning of John, Jesus came to His own people and they didn't recognize Him. John says that He offers Himself as bread. I am the bread of life. I am the water of life. I am the light of the world. And there's a challenge in John 6, where in John 6, there's a story that's included in all the Gospels where Jesus feeds 5,000 people with food that they didn't have, feeds them with bread and fish. And because of that, people start following Him. They say, here's the guy that feeds us. We're talking about a subsistence economy here, where you would work for the day to earn your bread for tomorrow. There weren't savings accounts, right? This is reflected in the Lord's Prayer. Give us today our daily bread. And so they're following Him. And this is the context here is where the entire nation was understood. They understood themselves. We are God's chosen people. And we have all these structures in place for us to be pure, holy, people of God that live out His purpose. They had the sacrificial system. They had the temple. They had Scripture. They had everything they needed to be God's people, but it wasn't enough. They could still miss it. And so what happens is in John 6, verse 35, Jesus says, I am the bread of life. I am the one that gives life. And you have to partake of me to have this life. And people go like, they didn't understand what He's saying because partly it was metaphor. He said, you have to eat my flesh, which is plenty bizarre when you think about it. And they didn't understand the metaphor that they had to partake in Jesus Himself to have the life that God offered for them. And so they started walking away. They started leaving. He fed them bread and fish, and they followed Him for that. But to go beyond the material eating, it was too much for them to grasp. So Jesus says to His own disciples, everybody's leaving. Are you going to leave too? Here's the response. John 6, verses 68 and 69. Lord, to whom would we go? You have the words that give eternal life. We believe and we know that You are the Holy One of God. You are the one that has the words that give eternal life. And His closest disciples recognized that we're not talking just about physical bread here. From the beginning of John, this grand opening, Jesus is described as the Logos, the Word, okay? The written Word, the rationale, the meaning behind everything. But here, in this passage, you have the words that give eternal life. The Greek word there is rhema, the spoken word. And so you have to remember that the Jews had Scripture. They had the words of God, but it requires the spoken word spoken through Scripture to bring us life. Jesus is the Logos who speaks the rhema of life. He is the word, the rationale, the logic, who speaks the living words that bring us life. Later on in John, Jesus says, eternal life is to know the Father. It's through Jesus that we know the Father. This is what's necessary. So I want to ask you this morning, what's on your badge? Hello, my name is. Is it just a label? What's your identity? Who determines your agenda? What's deciding your identity? What's deciding your agenda? Because God has an identity for you that goes beyond what anybody else has to say. He has an agenda for you that goes beyond what anybody else has to determine. What I want to do is want you to do, and you can do it as I'm speaking now or even at the end when we have the prayer time, but write down what you understand God says you are. In fact, even better, ask Him and listen to what He says. Ask Him and write down what He says to you your identity is and your agenda. I want to read two passages of Scripture to sort of come to the end here. And I'm going to read it slowly, and I want you to absorb it. In fact, listen to what God is saying through the written words. You'll see the words on the screen, and I'll read it. You'll hear it. But what is God saying to you about the desire to hear His words? I'm going to read it meditatively, slowly. First one is 1 Peter 2, verses 2 and 3. Like newborn babies, you must crave pure spiritual milk so that you will grow into a full experience of salvation. Cry out for this nourishment now that you have had a taste of the Lord's kindness. Let me read it one more time. Like newborn babies, you must crave pure spiritual milk so that you will grow into a full experience of salvation. Cry out for this nourishment now that you have had a taste of the Lord's kindness. And then I want to read Psalm 42, verses 1 and 2. As the deer longs for streams of water, so I long for you, O God. I thirst for God, the living God. When can I go and stand before Him? We used to sing a song that included those words, and I always had this Bambi image in my mind, you know, this delightful pastoral scene with green grass. But that's the wrong image. The image is of a parched, dehydrated deer in a desert land whose tongue is out panting for water, desperate for water. As the deer longs for streams of water, so I long for you, O God. I thirst for God, the living God. Where can I go and stand before Him? God's love for you is beyond what you can imagine. It's more than the love that you have for yourself, and it's more than the love that anybody else, even the perfect, the best parent you could have on earth, that love, or the best spouse, God's love is beyond that. Those are pale imitations, pale pictures of the depth and expanse and breadth of God's love for you. And God's purpose for you is beyond what you can do on your own. Who are you? And why are you here? The best answers to those questions come from God's words, and we need to be hearing them every day. Who am I? What do you want me to do? We have a bunch of text messages. A whole bunch. Okay. Such an important point, Fred. One of the strongest reasons we need to hear from our Father on a daily basis is to be cleansed from the labeling we received from the world and the selfish nature. Yeah, it's true. Let's see. For me, the negative labels I did not want were labels I gave myself. Yeah, I know that. Sometimes our self-talk is worse than what other people say. I don't know if that's the same for most people, but same for me. But I believe the enemy is behind those labels we give ourselves. Searching out and listening for what God thinks and feels about us are the labels we want. Yeah, so here's a trick the enemy uses. He'll put a thought into your head, but he'll put it into your head in the first person. So if you have a thought in your head that says, you are stupid, it's not as powerful if you have a thought in your head that says, I am stupid. And so the enemy will plant thoughts in your head in first person, and we think they're our own thoughts. I'm guessing the kindergarten for you is 45 years ago. Okay, now I got to do the math. I think it was 46 years ago. What is 45 or 46? It was a long, long, long time. Regarding God's agenda for you, how do you determine what it is? hear from God and move forward. If you're struggling to hear from God, move forward and hear from God. Sometimes we want the life agenda. And as I said before, we would reject the life agenda because it's too big. It's too vast. It's too beyond ourselves. And I don't know how old you are, but the younger you are, the bigger, the more potential you have. And the more potential you have, the more potential God has for your future, the more it is beyond what you can do right now. And so God will lead you one step, one day, one week, one month at a time. And if you're younger, sometimes we feel, stuck. I can't move forward until I know what direction, because the sense is one degree off course is a mile off course down the road, right? You better aim right at the beginning or you're going to be way off at the end, if that makes sense. The reality is that there is something called a course correction that happens. And some of us feel stuck, and so we don't move at all. And I've used the illustration many times. If you're in a parked car and you try to steer, it's kind of hard to turn the wheel. But when the wheels start moving, and I mean the wheels on the road, the steering wheel gets easier because it's easier to steer a moving car. And so if you don't know what to do, then start by serving in an opportunity that presents itself, whether it's having a conversation with your neighbor and inviting them to watch the live stream, the Crossless Church live stream. Say, listen, if you're struggling in your life, watch the live stream. Let's talk about it afterwards. Let's discuss it. Or even watch it together if you want to stream it into the backyard or whatever, with masks on, socially distanced, whatever. Serve in a soup kitchen if you can. Serve to help somebody in an area of interest. We had a couple in our church years and years and years ago, and they were not serving in the church, and they knew we needed people serving in the kids ministry, and they served for a year in the kids ministry, and they discovered, unusually, that they really didn't like it. But because they had started moving, they shifted from there to somebody else, to the point where they were both heavily involved in ministries that they were really passionate about, because you start somewhere and you can allow God to correct your course as you go. If you don't know where to start with love the Lord your God with all your soul, heart, strength, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. Find people to serve. And once you start moving, and if you're sensitive to God's voice and listen to his voice, he will steer you into a path. We have somebody in our church, he's a younger guy, I mean, younger than me, who has been serving in Crossness Church in many areas for years and years and years, and now he's about to start Bible college. And I don't think it's because he was doing nothing and God gave him a vision from heaven and said, go to Bible college. It was the path of serving that led him to a clear direction of God's call. So it's a both and if you feel like God is not speaking to you, then start serving somewhere and allow him to shift you. If you feel like you're stuck in lockdown and you don't have the opportunity, then start phoning people to encourage them. Go through your list of contacts and email people and call them and say, hey, how are you doing today? Maybe how can I pray for you? What an awesome opportunity that you can do from your living room. So there are opportunities around you. Hey, boomer. Sometimes, wait a minute. I'm not a boomer. I'm a Gen X. Okay. I'm a middle child and part of the middle child generation. So I don't want to say I resent Hey Boomer, but I do. The person who texts us knows what I mean. Sometimes people say that we cannot find our identity in anything but being a child of God, essentially stripping us of all other identifiers and things that make us unique. Is this what we should be striving for? No. Okay, that's a great question. I appreciate that. I'm going to get this somewhat wrong, but I'm going to try to paraphrase it. C.S. Lewis said something like, anything that you pursue that is less than God's will for you, what is it? If we aim for things that are less than God, they get smaller. But if we aim for God, everything underneath that gets bigger. So, for example, if your primary identity is as a student, well, okay, what do you do when you graduate? You have no more identity, right? My primary identity is as a student, and all of your life contracts to what it means to be a student. all of your other ambitions and goals and all the things, it's all about being a student. That's just it, student. But C.S. Lewis says, when you aim for heaven, you get all of earth thrown in. And the idea is this, when you aim for your identity as God's child, then you become a student who is God's child. The idea of being a student actually gets bigger. So all of the identities that you carry, all the positive identities that are within God's will, all of the identities that you carry are actually, they become fruitful. They flourish under the identity of being God's child, being part of God's family. When you aim lower, everything gets smaller. When you aim bigger, everything increases. Everything gets better. And so, yeah, you're going to have multiple identities, multiple, and I don't mean multiple different identities. To live in integrity, all of our identities and roles should reflect what's going on the inside. And that's the same idea of being God's child. So as for me, as a pastor, I am God's child serving as a pastor. As a father, I am God's child serving as a father. As a husband, I am God's child serving as a husband. As a shopper in Walmart, I am God's child shopping in Walmart, or whatever. All the roles that we play, they find their flourishing and fulfillment when they are brought under the highest identity, God's child. Maybe you're not God's child. Maybe you've never put your faith in him, and I want to give you the opportunity to do that right now. And we say this every week. It's as simple as ABC. A, admit that your identity is too small. I admit that you have not dealt with your self-destructive nature, that your life is not what it could be because you've never put your trust in Jesus. You've never been adopted into God's family. And then B is believe that Jesus has made the way. This is the story of the cross. Jesus goes to the cross to overcome mankind's self-destructive nature and make a way for relationship with God the Father, who wants to adopt us into his family. It's not just believe, mentally assent, it's trust. I'm trusting in this. I'm throwing all my bets in onto this. I'm banking on this. This is my highest gamble, my highest risk, my highest leap of faith is trusting the story of Jesus. And that through his death, he came out the other end, he defeated death through his death and came through to resurrection, and that resurrection life is available for you. And then C stands for commit. So you're turning your back on your old life and jumping both feet into the life that Jesus has for you. The identity of being his child and his calling, which is part of, it's your role in his kingdom, which is unique for you, but it's the highest calling you could possibly live. It's the best life you could live. I don't mean the easiest life, the best life, the most fruitful life, the most impactful life, the most meaningful life that you could live. And if you want to make that decision today to go all in with Jesus, I want to lead you in a prayer. Just pray words, something like this. You can even echo my words as I say them and make them your own. Let's pray something like this. Father, I thank you that you desire me to be your child. And I acknowledge, I admit that what I have been doing has not been working. My identity has been too small. My agenda has been too limited. And I am choosing to trust the Jesus story. I'm choosing to follow in Jesus' footsteps to live the life that you have for me to live. And I'm choosing to commit to you today. In Jesus' name, amen. And if this is a decision that you are making for the first time today, I want to challenge you to walk with us as a community of followers of Jesus. And the easiest way to do that is connect with us. If you go to crosslands.live and click the Follow Jesus button, we'll get a hold of you and give you next steps. Because following Jesus is not a life that is done alone. It takes work. It takes help. It takes doing life together. And we have the means to do that. We have the means to help you with this. And so don't neglect connecting with us. And we'll give you the tools, the next steps on where to go. We're going to close the service now, but I want to challenge you once more to feed into yourself daily the words that God has for you, to answer the two biggest questions we have. Who am I? And what am I here for? We have time after the service is closed when we don't stop the live feed. We keep it going with prayer music, sort of. So for you to have time to do business with God, and you can ask him those questions and start writing down what he says to you. Engage with him and listen to what he says and start making that a practice of doing it on a regular basis. Let me pray for you. Father, I thank you for the identity that we have in you and for the calling that we have in you. Father, I pray for each one listening right now that your words would be clear. I pray against the confusion and the deception of the enemy that would make us doubt and reject what you are saying. Father, I pray that the words that you say to us would go deep within our hearts, and our identity and our actions would be defined by you. I thank you that you are calling us to a higher life, a better life, and a fuller life. Make that real in each one of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
You've been listening to the Crosslands Church podcast. Be sure to subscribe on iTunes or the Google Play Store so that it comes straight to your device. And to find out more about Crosslands Church, you can visit us at crosslands.ca. Join us next week for another message to help you experience the life with God you've been missing.